Okay, let's unpack this deep dive on a topic that sounds incredibly technical, but really it's all about one thing: liability.
Exactly.
We're looking at how companies build AI that actually meets strict regulations. You know, things like NIST, CGIS, and OMB.
And we're going to scale it all the way from a single real estate agent to a full-blown federal agency.
Our mission here is to shortcut all those complex requirements into some clear, actionable insights for you.
And what's so fascinating is that it's all driven by a single blueprint, the NIST Risk Management Framework, or RMF.
RMF, okay.
It breaks every AI deployment into four stages: govern, which is setting the policy, then map, measure, and manage.
And the core idea is that the level of liability, the risk involved, that dictates everything else.
Everything, the entire technology stack, the vendor you choose, the human oversight, it all comes down to risk.
So let's start at the absolute bottom. Level one, the solopreneur with a little listing architect bot.
The lowest stakes, right?
Compliance there is just about controlling the inputs, I assume. What's the one basic rule they have to follow?
It's really simple. The do not upload list. You just forbid putting highly sensitive info like social security numbers or, bank codes into the system.
And that's it.
Well, not quite. The key is in the map function. You have to define workflow boundaries to prevent what they call automation bias.
So the bot can do some things, but not others.
Precisely. The bot can draft an estimate, for example, but the rule mandates it can never send the invoice. That boundary stops it from making an unauthorized financial move.
Okay, so level one is about blocking bad inputs. What happens when we scale up to a mid-sized business? The risk changes.
Right. It's not just bad data coming in. It's about protecting what's already inside: trade secrets, internal documents.
So you move from input control to access control. How does that work?
This is where you bring in something called data loss prevention, or DLP. Labels. It's part of the map function again.
You're tagging your data.
Exactly. You tag proprietary folders as restricted, and then save files, like the company handbook, as general. The AI is hard-coded to only read the general tag.
And you have to test that, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. It's mandatory. You run red teaming tests where you actively try to trick the bot into giving you restricted info. It has to refuse. That's how you know the map is working.
Now let's jump to the really high-stakes clients: fire departments, federal agencies, public safety, government data.
This is where the environment itself becomes the compliance tool.
What do you mean, like specialized cloud stacks?
For a level three, like a fire department dealing with CGIS or HIPAA data, you need two big things. First, personnel screening,
Background checks.
fingerprint-based background checks for all staff involved. And second, yes, they must use a specific, highly secured cloud environment, often something like Microsoft 365 Government.
And there's more human oversight.
A lot more. It's called a human-in-the-loop protocol. A paramedic has to physically review and sign off on any AI-generated EMS report before it's final.
And for the federal level, that's where we see frameworks like OMB, M2521 come in with the AI impact assessments.
That is the critical piece. Before you even deploy, you have to do a formal AI impact assessment, an AIIA. It details all the data, the risks, any potential harm to civil rights.
And that ties into the measure and manage stages you mentioned.
It does. To keep your authority to operate, or ATO, you need continuous monitoring for what's called drift.
Drift being the AI getting dumber or biased over time.
That's it. And any drift has to be reported immediately to the agency's chief AI officer. Compliance isn't a one-time setup, it's a constant process.
That sounds intense. So, across all these high-level deployments, are there any universal safeguards? Three things you always need.
Yes, three things are absolutely essential. First, a kill switch, a protocol to immediately revoke the AI's API key if it goes rogue.
Hold the plug.
Instantly. Second, a continuously updated inventory of all your AI tools for transparency. And third, a user feedback loop, a simple button to flag bad answers.
And someone actually has to look at that feedback.
It has to be reviewed weekly. That's how you catch performance issues before they become huge compliance problems.
So, wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway here?
The takeaway is that compliant architecture turns AI from a risky science experiment into a truly mission-critical asset. It's about addressing liability upfront, using that NIST framework as your guide. It shows you can innovate safely.
And here's a final provocative thought for you to chew on. Compliance often dictates your vendor choice because of hidden requirements that have nothing to do with features. For example, to meet a strict mandate like CGIS, your vendor's support staff might have to be restricted exclusively to U.S. persons.
That's a huge one.
It is. And that one detail can dramatically narrow down who you can even buy your AI from long before you ever get to talking about what the AI can actually do.